good to see you all out this morning. We have a very good crowd with us, and I see a few new faces, and so we welcome you, and we're so glad that you decided to come worship with us this morning. You made a great decision. There's a lot of other things that you could be doing this morning, but there's nothing more important than coming to hear God's word preached and to praise Him. So this morning, I'm sure, as most of you had, it's been a pretty busy morning, and you know, between trying to take care of pigs and trying to cook and opening a few presents, I forgot my belt. So if you see me yanking on my pants up here, that's why. And so we're not off to a great start, so hopefully the rest of the morning goes a little better. And I see a lot of twins in here this morning, and I'm a little offended that no one offered to get me a shirt to match you guys. So I don't know what the deal was there, but I guess I'll let it go. And so thank you to Andy for taking another day off so I can get up here and talk to you all. Sorry for that you guys had to sit through me, and you know, Andy does a lot better job, but it's good for us to get up here and to talk and to prepare lessons and to present it, and it helps us grow both personally and spiritually as we study and we work through different things and try to, you know, beat it into something that makes sense for other people to understand. So we've come to the end of another year, and this one seems like it flew by extra fast, and I know the older you get, the faster they go by. But with just, well, next Sunday will be January 1st. And so this will be the last Sunday morning of the year. And it's often customary at this time, as we come to the end of a year, or really the end of anything, we look back at what had happened. And most of the time, we look back at the good things that happened, and there's lots of great things that happened in all of our lives. And we're so thankful for all those great things. But if you're like me, you also take the chance to reflect on the bad things that happened and the mistakes that you made. And maybe it's just me, but the mistakes that I've made and the places that I've fallen short tend to kind of haunt me, and they stick with me. And so I use this time at the end of the year to reflect on, how am I going to do better? How am I going to fix my mistakes? As I was going through school and going through through college mostly, and I was taking different agronomy classes, one of the common themes is, as we're talking about different things, you know, obviously the end goal of farming is you're trying to maximize your yield per acre of whatever crop you're trying to raise. And so they talk about this, and they discuss what is the limiting factor in your yield. And so when they do this, they usually had a PowerPoint, and obviously don't have one. I don't use PowerPoints, and we don't have available. But there's a illustration of a wooden barrel, and the top's cut off, and you know, the barrels have individual boards, and they're held together with those metal rings, and all those boards are cut to different heights. And if you try to fill that barrel up, obviously it's not going to get all the way full as what a whole barrel would. You're only going to be able to put water in there as high as that lowest board is cut. And then the water's going to start coming out that lowest point. It doesn't matter how high the rest of those boards are cut, you're still not going to be able to fill it up, because water's going to take the path of least resistance out of that barrel. And in this barrel, they have those boards labeled. And they're labeled with different things that affect yield. And there's a lot of different factors that affect yield, and a lot of them that we as farmers can manipulate to try and make sure that these are not going to limit our yield. Whether it be the different fertilizers that we can put down, the nitrogen, the phosphorus, potassium, those are your macros. You can fertilize for some of the micros, not near as successfully. You can address your soil pH. You can address how well the water drains off of the top of your soil or through it, through tiling. And You can choose what variety you're going to plant there, whether it be corn, beans, wheat, whatever you have. You have different choices. Some are higher yielding than others. You have weed pressure, and you can address that with your tillage program, with your chemical program, and there's other few alternatives that don't work so well. You have different tillage methods, different tillage pieces of equipment. Some do better than others. How well did you prep your seed bed to receive that seed that you're going to plant? You have your planter. How well does that planter uniformly put that seed in at the proper depth? Or do you have one seed that's 2 inches, one seed to 3 inches, one seed that's an inch? That's a problem. And then you have the combine, because if we can do all our other jobs right, we still have to get that crop out of the field. We have to be able to set the combine right so we don't have too much harvest or too much loss. We have to harvest it at the right time so it's the right moisture. And there's a lot of factors that can come into a play that we as farmers can make right or that we can make wrong in getting maximum yield. And there's factors that are just simply out of our control. How much rain are we going to get? How much sunlight are we going to get at the right times? How hot's it going to be? You know, sometimes heat's a good thing. Sometimes heat's a really bad thing, especially during pollination time. If you have a really bad heat spell during when the corn's trying to pollinate, there's a lot of times that pollination doesn't go so well. You have the soil, how well or how, what the quality of your soil is. Some soils hold nutrients better. Some soils allow water to flow through it better. Some soils, like sand, don't hold anything, and you have to irrigate it and constantly fertilize it to grow a good crop on it. There's nothing we can do about those things. So we're just kind of have to deal with the card that we're dealt at that certain time. But if we as farmers were able to eliminate these factors that we can't control, man, how awesome would that be? As a farmer, that's the perfect world. You know, if I do my job right, I know I'm going to have maximum yields and we're going to make a good profit every year. And that would be such a huge relief. If you look at this from a spiritual aspect, for starters, like the goal of farming is to raise crop. And the goal of our spiritual walk is to grow as well. And we know that growth is completely necessary. If you turn your Bibles over to the book of 2 Peter. In chapter 3, verse 18. It states, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the end of eternity. Amen." And again in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, leaving the elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." See that growth is necessary. Okay, it's not an option for us to stay where we're at. And growth is something that continually happens. It's not I can grow a little bit and I'm good. It's something we have to press towards and work towards constantly. And if you look at things that can limit our spiritual growth, one of the biggest blessings that we have, or probably the biggest blessing that we have on this earth, is the fact that Jesus removed the things that are out of our control. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried and rose again, our sins were forgiven. The only thing that was out of our control, Jesus took care of. You know, he became that perfect sacrifice that the many sacrifices of animals in the Old Testament could not do it. Jesus had to do it, and he did for us because he loves us. And so he also, as we find in 1 Corinthians 10:13 as the scripture reading, that God's not going to tempt us beyond what we're able to withstand. And with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. So our sins are forgiven and paid for. And every time that we're faced with a temptation, we can get out of it. Which means that everything left that would hinder our spiritual growth is 100% up to us. It's up to the decisions we make, the priorities we set, and the things that we do. So what is your limiting factor in your spiritual growth? What's keeping you from growing? And this is going to be different for every single person here this morning. And really, this lesson is just all mainly self-reflective for you to think about yourself and to think about where you lack. There's a lot of different things that it could be. You know, for example, it could be simply fear. It could be a pride issue. It could be selfishness, laziness, complacency, greed, addiction, lying, priorities, a lack of dedication, or possibly the relationships that you have on this earth. Like farming, every single year, we have a new set of challenges, and we have a new set of limiting factors that we have to try and attend with. And the same goes with us as we try to grow spiritually. It may not always be the same thing that we're fighting. It may not always be the same thing that's holding us back from growing. As we work on one aspect of our life, we may have another limiting factor that shows up and that we have to turn and shift our attention to and to try and address it. We all have spots that need worked on. We all have places where we have untapped potential. You know, Andy talked last week about Jesus seeing a man when he talked of seeing Matthew, and he saw that Matthew had so much to offer the work of God, and saw that Matthew could be used so well to spread God's message. He saw the untapped potential, and we all have untapped potential that we have to get into and we have to fix. We have to identify our limiting factor. And so I've come up with a few questions that I'm going to ask, and these are rhetorical. Obviously, I don't want people shouting out answers to these. But to think about, and hopefully some of these will help lead your mind into where you might be falling short. Number one, what do I spend my free time doing and thinking about? Obviously, we all have requirements with jobs and families and different things, but when we're not doing those things, what do we spend our time doing? What do we spend our time thinking about, dwelling on? Is it things of godly nature? Is it things of the Bible? Or do we spend time thinking about our hobbies? Or what are we going to eat? Or this may be a vacation that's something fun we're looking forward to in the future. What do we spend our free time thinking about? How do we feel about coming to worship services? Are we excited to come to worship? Do we look forward to it as a chance to worship God, to praise God, to encourage one another, to be encouraged? Or do we just come because, well, if I don't come, they're going to start calling me and they're going to start nagging me and I really don't want them in my case, so I'll show up and it doesn't really matter if I pay attention. I'm just going to show up to get people off my case. Or I don't really need to come. You know, I'm doing all right without coming to church. This tells a lot about how we are inside. What am I most tempted by? And when I sin, what are the sins that are repeatedly entrapping me? What is my most tempted by? Do people in my life help me get to heaven? You know, that's one of the things that my parents and those around me when I was trying to find someone to marry, it was one of the things that they always pointed out. Says, is this person going to help you get to heaven? Or are they going to be a drag on your spiritual life? And that's something that we should ask ourselves, especially when we're trying to find a spouse, but with everyone that we come across and we decide to start a relationship with and build a relationship with, whether it be a friendship or, you know, we don't often have times where we get to choose our work relationships, but if we do, are the people that we're hanging out with, are they helping us get to heaven? Or are they calling us out when we fall short? Are they helping us to steer us in the right direction? Or are they trying to get us to skip church, to go hang out, or to do something different? Are they constantly using foul language around us? Are they trying to invite us to places where we know that we should not be as Christians? How often do I pray? How much time do I spend talking to God one-on-one, pouring out my heart to Him, having a real conversation, and thanking Him for all that He's done for us, as well as asking Him for the help of the things that are troubling you in your life? And it's not so much as just praying, because we know that you know, just saying a quick prayer, if it's the same thing that's repeated every time you pray, you're not accomplishing much. You know, if we every time we pray, we say the exact same things, we pray for the exact same things, and it's a short, we can repeat it like clockwork, then our prayer life should need some work. That's not praying. How often do I read the Bible? How often do I spend time in God's Word, dissecting it, applying it to my life? And we're going to talk more about that later on in this lesson. And how important is God in my life? If this congregation, and if your ability to worship God, and your relationship with God was suddenly taken from you, how much would that affect your life? How much of your life would change? Would it be extremely upsetting? Would it completely rock your world, turn your head upside down? Or would it just be a slight minor inconvenience? There's lots of other questions that we could ask that help us to try and hone in on what's limiting our spiritual growth. But we have to find it. And identifying it is not just enough. You know, if I know what's wrong and I do nothing to change it, then what good is that? Change is necessary. You know, there's an old saying saying, you know, true stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. If you continue living the same way, if you continue doing the exact same things and the same habits that you have, and you expect to grow spiritually when you haven't been, you're completely fooling yourself. Changes have to take place in your life in order for spiritual growth to happen. You know, one of the most common solutions that I think that would do us all good, for whatever reason, whatever your limiting factor in your spiritual growth might be, one thing that I think could help almost all of them, if not all of them, is reading the Bible. Spending more time in God's Word, getting to know it better, and applying it to your life. There's a couple studies that I was reading through that talked about how often do people read the Bible. The American Bible Society did a study, and in 2021, it stated that 50% of Americans read their Bible on their own 3 or 4 times per year. That's not a lot. If I'm going to work out, and I work out 3 or 4 times a year, I'm not going to lose any weight. I'm not going to get any stronger. My physical health is not going to be affected whatsoever by me working out 3 or 4 times a year. It's just not. It does no good. You might as well stay at home. And that's only half of Americans. In 2022, that number dropped down to 39%. That's a sad statistic. In the same study, they found that pre-pandemic, 14% of Christians claim that they read their Bible daily. And with the current statistic, it's down to 10%. That's not good. These are people, the first statistic, you could argue, well, most of the people aren't Christians. But the second statistic is people who claim to be Christians. Only 10% are currently reading their Bible daily. How sad is that? And that should really scare us all. Another statistic is said is over 82% of American Christians only read their Bible on Sunday. That's not enough. Even once a week is not enough. There's another study from the New Life Way study, and it said that 32% of polled Christians read their Bible every day. And it also studied it also said that the people who attend church services four or more times per month are more likely to read their Bible every day. And it also said that people who attend church four or more times were more likely to think about God and the Bible throughout the day. If you look at that, along with the drop in Bible reading during the pandemic, it clearly states that coming to church and reading your Bible are so closely tied together, as well as tied together with how close we are to God and how much we resemble Jesus. They're all tied together. Reading your Bible, coming to church, it's important for our spiritual growth. It's 100% necessary, and it's vital to our growth. You know, the Bible and spiritual and worship should be the food that we get as Christians. And if we're not eating, how do we expect to grow? And we just won't grow. And when you're not reading the Bible, it's going to lead to a whole host of other problems. You know, not reading your Bible enough may be your limiting factor, but I bet that people who have different limiting factors all stem back because they're not reading their Bible enough, and it's just caused other areas in their life to slip. In the book of John, in chapter 17, Jesus is offering up a prayer. He's offering up a prayer to God, and he's asking blessings on his disciples. And he's asking God to be with them as they go and they teach and they preach and they go out into the world. He's asking to help them and to protect them. And in verse 17, so John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them in the word. How do we expect for us to be sanctified, to be set apart, to look like Jesus if we're not spending time in the Word? How do we expect to be growing if we're not spending time in God's Word? And the simple answer is, we won't and we can't. Reading the Bible is so extremely important. And you know, reading the Bible, gaining in knowledge, is wonderful, and it's 100% necessary. But that's not all that we have to do. In John 4:24, it says that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we have the knowledge, we have the truth, but yet there's this spirit aspect that we have to work on as well. We have to have a personal relationship with God. We have to develop this connection with God. You know, knowing the facts, being able to read the Bible, being able to list all these things that the Bible says is wonderful, but by itself is nothing. You know, there's a lot of people that are living very sinful lives that know the Bible front to back. Knowledge is not enough. We have to combine that with our spirit-filled worship. We have to spend time in prayer, connecting with him, growing with him, cultivating that relationship. And we have to each develop our own understanding that we need God. We need Jesus in our life. We need the forgiveness that is offered up for us. And if we're going throughout our life and we don't know and realize that we have to have God in our life, then we're all just wasting our time, because we're not going to have the proper motivation, and we're not going to have the drive to work on ourselves, to fix our mistakes. Because let's face it, growth is hard. It takes addressing problems when we've fallen short. It takes admitting our faults, looking at our faults, and no one likes being, you know, told when they're wrong, or no one likes looking at their mistakes or realizing that, man, I have a lot of flaws. We all like to think that we're good and we don't make mistakes. But that's not the case. We do, and we need God, and we have to know that we need God. So as we address our limiting factors in our personal life, in our own spiritual walk, the same goes for church growth. The same limiting factors that could be hurting us individually could also be hurting the church. Now, obviously, we have an eldership here, and that is one of their main jobs, is to look after the growth of our congregation here. And they do such a great job of keeping their pulse on the congregation and knowing what it needs. But it's not just up to them. We have to be able to help them when they know there's things that need worked on. We have to be willing to be that change that we want to see. We have to be able to go to them and ask, how can I help to help this church grow? What can I do to better the worship service? What can I do to help better spread the message? To bring more people to this congregation? To make this congregation grow tighter together? To grow internally? Volunteer to teach classes. Volunteer to do anything that needs done. There's lots of different jobs that have to be done on a regular basis here. Being the change that we need to see. And the church will only grow as much as the members grow. You know, our elders can design a path and can point out the things that need worked on, but yet if the members here just choose to ignore it and to do their own thing and to not buy in and to not do their part, growth will never happen. You can have the best eldership in the world, but if the congregation is not bought in, growth will never happen. Growth is important. Limiting factors are important that we address it. And as I stated earlier, it's all up to us. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. He's taken away the things that are out of our control. So everything that we do is our own doing. Good or bad, it's our own fault. If you've come this morning, then you realize that you've made bad decisions. And you've got something that's limiting your spiritual growth, and it's weighing heavy on your heart, and you need some help. Because there's things that weigh so heavy on us that we can't do it on our own. And it's such a blessing to have such a large congregation here to lean on one another and to ask each other for help. Now is the perfect time. And we don't know when our time will be called, when Jesus will return, or when our days on earth will end. I was talking with Shane earlier, and he was talking about how many graves that he's got to dig recently. Death is here for all of us. We never know when time's going to come, when our days will be cut short. We're reminded constantly of people that die in their youth, that die young, way before they're expected to. We have to be ready at all times. If there's anyone here who has not become a Christian, we urge you to do so before it's too late. And if you do have something in your life that's hindering your growth, it's time to address it now. If anyone has a need, I'll ask if you come forward as we stand, and Caleb leads us in a song.